There are a lot of things that take place in this world and in your life sometimes that don't add up or make a lot of sense. God never said that your life would make sense, that everything that happens would make sense, that everything that takes place you'd go, oh, I know exactly why that happened. God did say that He would always be with you. This week and next week, I'd like to do a two-part series of lessons on where is God when I hurt, and also when things don't make sense, what do I know that God's going to do to help? And just a couple of lessons that deal with things when you go through tough times. If you haven't gone through tough times, you will. It'll happen. It'll come. But if you have, there's been many times you sit back and you go, man, I feel like I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. God's not hearing what I'm saying. I've been trying to be patient and I just don't know what to do. We're going to look at some of those things. I begin to think back at some of the things in life, just in my life. You've all got things too that I've thought back that didn't make a lot of sense at the time. I think back to a young boy. I would have probably been about 4 years old when my real father passed away of cancer. A cancer that had he had today would have been probably 90% curable. Back then it wasn't. And I was raised for a long period of time without a dad. I never got to know him. And I've oftentimes wondered, you know, why? What happened there that had to happen? And what was tougher for that is to think what he must have felt like to know that he wasn't going to be raising his children. And as a father, that really kind of twists my old heart just a little bit. I think about a sister who has not once or twice but three times been unlucky in marriage. And just seems like everything that you try just doesn't go wrong, doesn't go right. And she sets back a lot of time and goes, What am I doing? What's happening? Why is this happening to me? I think about yesterday on the news. You read it and heard about it as well as I did. A young baby being abducted from the hospital. And I thought, what that family must have been going through as they sent out an Amber Alert all over the United States saying, hey, we have lost a newborn. Somebody walked out with her. And I remember thinking, those parents wondering, why has this happened? Why is this going on? This morning, if you didn't see the news, they have found that child, and that's wonderful news. But that still sometimes doesn't always answer the questions of why. Read not long ago about a young man who was a tops in his class. He was a football player, All-State. He had gone to college, was there 2 years, wanted to be a doctor, not just a doctor, but he wanted to do mission work in the mission field through his being a physician. 2 years into college, the young man developed cancer. He was engaged. And 6 months later, he was gone. And I remember thinking, wow, things just don't make sense sometimes. When you look at some of the things in the Bible, some of the things that happen, some of the things that take place, sometimes you go, what was Abraham thinking? What was Moses thinking when he was thinking, this just doesn't make any kind of sense? You know, around us we have war, we have famine, we have disease, we have heart failure, we have Down syndrome, we have people who are laid off sometimes. I am not suggesting that our Heavenly Father is uncaring or unconcerned, but what I'd like to give you, if you picked up an outline this morning, I want to give you about four thoughts that deal with this subject. As we go through here, the first thing that I want you to catch and write up at the top is that God is present and involved in our lives even when He seems deaf or on an extended vacation. You understand what I'm saying? That even though sometimes we think, I can't hear anything from God, I don't even know He's there, He's not listening to me, or obviously He has gone somewhere where I'm not, and He is just gone, I want you to understand this. He is present and He is involved in your life even when you can't feel Him. Even when you can't see Him. You remember the story in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 and 14? The story is there's a couple of people walking down the road. It's a road called Emmaus. And they're walking along. Things are looking bleak. And they are telling this other person who has showed up, we're sad, we're hurt, our friend Jesus has been crucified, and we are just beside ourselves. We don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, we don't know who to talk to, we are just lost. And you know who that third person was right there by the other two? It was Jesus. Remember that story? Great story. Jesus was walking along. They didn't recognize him at the time. It just reminded me that sometimes when you think, man, I am lost, nothing's making sense, I am so confused about life in general itself, Jesus is a lot closer than you think. A lot closer than you think. When it seems that he's a million miles away, he's actually close enough to touch. I read a story, and I've shared this with you, but it's been a long time ago. I read a story in a book by Philip Yancey. He was talking about a man who had been a prisoner of war. And that prisoner of war had been put in solitary confinement. They'd put him in a little square concrete box that was 6 foot by 6 foot by 6 foot. Nothing. No windows, no nothing. When they shut that door, it was pitch dark. He had no clue if it was daytime, if it was nighttime. He knew nothing other than he was in a concrete box underground. The only thing that kept him sane during that time, he talks about, is a marble. You may remember me telling y'all about that. He had a marble that somehow or another he had in his pocket, and he would roll it, he would listen to it, he would feel it in his fingers. He said it's the only thing that kept him from just going bananas in that box, gave him something to do. He would tap it on the ground. That marble became, one time in his cell, and he has no clue when it was, whether it was a day or a night, but he said one time in there, I was throwing the marble. He tells this story. I was throwing the marble up, and I threw it up, and it never came down. And he said, I was so confused. He said, here I was in this box that I felt on my laps that it wasn't there. It never had come down. It never had hit the floor. You didn't hear it roll. You didn't hear it hit. You didn't hear anything other than it just as if it had disappeared. He said, I almost went crazy thinking, what had happened? He began to feel around. He couldn't find it on the floor. What had happened? What had happened was sometime over the period of time, an old spider had come and he had built him a little cobweb nest up there toward the top of that concrete box. And when he had thrown that little marble up there, it had stuck. And Philip Yancey's point to that story was, although that man felt around for hours and hours looking, confused about where it had gone. That thing is gone. I can't find it anywhere. That thing was actually there all the time. That's how God is. When things get bleak, when things get hard, when he seems like he's not listening, not paying attention, when he seems like he has gone far, far away, he is actually right there, close enough to touch. And we can't forget that promise that he has given us. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, if we would establish our faith on the word and not on feeling, that would make a big difference. Does that make sense? Sometimes we establish our foundations of who we are on what we feel. I feel like I love somebody. I feel like I like that person. I feel this and I feel that. Sometimes you may say, well, I just don't feel God. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Don't build your faith around what you feel. Build your faith around the fact that he said, I will never, ever leave you. Base it on the word. That's what you got to understand. Second thing I want you to catch, God's timing is perfect even when he seems unbelievably late. God's timing is absolutely perfect. When it just seems like he is so late with dealing with things. I hear this probably more than any other thing. I hear folks say, well, I need God to fix this, and I need God to fix it right now. I need this worked out tomorrow, or I need this worked out next week. One of the great destroyers of our faith is timing. We live in a fast-paced, instant result place. And we don't like to wait on anything. Do you remember the story about the little boy who watched the cocoon as the butterfly worked his way out, and he decided to help the old butterfly? And so he peeled back the old layers of the cocoon and helped stretch out his wings. And what he had not realized was that butterfly, by helping him, he had actually destroyed his ability to fly, because part of that butterfly's ability to fly was going to be him getting strong enough to work his way out of that cocoon. Sometimes we destroy our own faith. We hurt our own faith when we try to rush what God is doing in our lives. John chapter 11, you remember the story of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha? Jesus was far away and Lazarus gets sick. Mary and Martha said, "Send Jesus a message. He'll come back for Lazarus. He loves us. He needs to be well." The message comes to Jesus and says, "Lazarus, the one you love, is sick." And Jesus says, "I think let's just stay here another couple of days." In the meantime, do you know what happens? Lazarus dies. Can you imagine Mary and Martha every day before, when Lazarus was so sick? Don't you know they were constantly looking out the window, watching coming down the road? Is he coming? Is he coming? We don't have a lot of time left. They were frantic because they were thinking, "He is so late." Jesus says, "I'm waiting two more days." Finally, when they get to Bethany, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And guess who meets him on the edge of town? It's those two sisters. And they say, "Lord, if only you'd have been here. If you could have just been here, he wouldn't have died. Why are you so late?" Now, Jesus was late on a purpose. You see, Jesus was late because he had planned to do something miraculous. More than heal Lazarus, he was going to bring Lazarus back from the dead. You see, his timing looked late, but it was absolutely perfect. And he did just what he said he was going to do, and he brought Lazarus up out of that grave. He wasn't late at all. He arrived at the right time to do God's will. His time is always perfect. So until you hear from him, just don't get all worked up. One of the things that you can do, if you'll base your past experiences on his timing, you'll see that God is and will be where he needs to be, that he will take care of things. If you'll base your past experience, you think back of other times when you cried out and you'll go, "You know, he was there all the time and he helped me." But see, sometimes we forget all that past and we focus on the here and now. God's timing is perfect, absolutely perfect. You know, I like the Andy Griffith Show. I don't get to see it much anymore, but man, there was some good theology in that show. Oh, Andy Griffith and Barney and Opie, you know, all Gomer. I mean, you talk about some classic television. You know, I remember one where Opie had gone out in the woods and he had met a man named Mr. McBeavy. And if you remember Mr. McBeavy, he was kind of an inventor. Opie comes back to his dad and he said, "Dad, I met a guy named Mr. McBeavy." And he said, "He had a shiny hat. It jingled when he walked. He had 10 hands coming out of his belt. He could make smoke come out of his ears." And Andy had thought that young Opie had just made up this pretend friend. And you remember, after 2 or 3 days, Andy finally tells him, "Stop talking about Mr. McBeavy. He's not real." And Opie says, "Oh, but Daddy is." And if you remember, Andy said, "Opie, go up to your room." He said, "If you don't be honest with me that he's not real, I'm going to whip you." And so Andy goes up to his room. Barney stays downstairs. You know, Barney was not always a good thinker. Andy goes up to his room, talks to Opie and says, "All right, Opie, tell me the truth." And you remember Opie looks at him with sincerity and he goes, "Dad, can you not believe me? Mr. McBeavy is real." And Andy thinks for a minute and he says, "You know what?" He says, "Opie, you've never lied to me before. Based on past experience with you, you wouldn't give me any reason to doubt you." And so he goes downstairs and And there's old Barney standing there, and Barney says, "Well, did you whip him?" And of course, Andy says, "No, I believe him." And Barney says, "You do what? You're believing that there is a monster in the wood?" Come to find out, there really was. And he just needed to believe the fact that Opie had always been honest with him to that point. So why not believe him now? You see, the same holds true with us. We come along and we go, "Oh, I know God can't help me now. He can't help me now. I don't know why and where." And if we just remember back to the past experiences, God's never let us down yet. Why do we think he will now? Let me give you a third one. Short point, but you need to understand this. Your arms are too short to box with God, so don't try it. That's a Broadway musical title to it. Job tried to box with God. I've left some passages on your paper you might want to check out today if you want to read about Job. Job, as Robert Carter talked in class this morning, things had gone well for Job, then things went terribly bad for Job. Job decided, "I'll box with God." And he says, "God, I got some questions for you." Job then asks, or actually God says, "Before you ask a question, let me ask you a question." And then he starts over in Job 38, verses 2 through 7. And God says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I parted the land from the sea?" And God goes on and on and on. And then you get over to chapter 40. God's still asking Job some questions. And Job says, "Lord, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth and I'm not saying anything else." Job realized it didn't make a lot of sense to box with God. Fourth thing down here, and this, and also, you got a book. You gotta put the you got up front that God's there no matter what. And at the end, here's the other thing that's going to hold the other end of this together. For reasons that are impossible to explain, you or we humans are incredibly precious to God. That's the thing that you need to understand when you think, "Where is God?" You are precious to God. I love Isaiah 66, verse 13. "As a mother loves her child, so I love you." There is no love in this world that is stronger than a mother's love for a child. None. Not a one. And God says, just like that, that's how I love you. God loves even like a mother. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, we're told about God's love. Too far to reach, from north to south, to east to west, heights to depths. That's how great God's love is. You know, I remember back a long time ago, Taylor was, he had to be about 5 or 6, and he was over at some friend's house, fell off backwards a bunk bed, hit his back of his head on some bricks, and split it wide open. Yeah, it was a tough time. We went to the emergency room. The doctor said, "We need to put some staples in there." And as about four years old, as a four-year-old boy, you know, he wasn't going to say, "All right, go ahead, I'm ready." It took Dad holding him down. And I remember his look. I'll never forget the look of his eyes as I held him as they stapled the back of his head. It was as if, "Dad, what are you doing to me?" He couldn't believe that I would allow somebody to hurt him like that. And I remember my heart just breaking, thinking to myself, if I could trade places with you in an instant, I would do it. Tough time. Do you think God ever does that? You ever think there's times when God says, "I know it hurts, but just hang in there. It's for the best. It's for the best." You know, God is a lot closer than what we think sometimes. You know, Job was a man we talked about a while ago. Not a man. We talk about the patience of Job. Yeah, Job was a man of faith is what Job was, before he was ever a man of patience. When it comes to Job, because of his faithfulness, because he said, "Yeah, I'm going to hang on. I ain't giving up on God. I'm hanging in there." God blessed him amazingly at the end of the story of Job.
blessed him amazingly. I will, and you will, and no one else ever will ever be able to answer all the questions of why in this world, why this happens and why that happens, why there is evil and why there is bad and why there is death and why there is sickness. But I can tell you that God loves you tremendously, and He will never, ever leave you. Ever. We'll offer an invitation at this time. If you need to respond this morning, we'd like to encourage you to come to the front as we stand and sing this song.